the podcast from Belmont Chapel in Exeter, sharing the story, living the life. For more information, go to belmontchapel.org.uk.
Today we're going to be concluding our series, Worship the God of All in All of Life. Thank you for having me with you. I know I've not been a regular at the evening gatherings. Today we're going to be taking a look at contentment. Now the Apostle Paul in the New Testament, he had some things to say about contentment. In fact, we get most of our teaching on contentment from either David, who we have in front of us now with Psalm 16. I trust you have a Bible in front of you, or perhaps on screen you've got Psalm 16 there for you. But we also get teaching on contentment in the New Testament with Paul. And he once said, I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. He said that in Philippians 4:12. And in using that language of a secret, I think he's trying to alert us to the fact that there's something hidden about this. There's something a bit mysterious about contentment that we need to uncover. So as I've been studying this week and praying, my hope and my prayer for us tonight is that I might find something here in Psalm 16 that might help us out in the search for that rare jewel of Christian contentment. So if you'd like to take a look with me, we're going to glance our way through the verses of Psalm 16. I don't have a PowerPoint for you, but I'll be able to put some headers over in the chat as we go through. But take a look there at verse 1. The psalm begins really, really clearly with a request. You've got it there in verse 1. Preserve me, O God, for in you I take refuge, says the ESV. Or keep me safe, my God, for in you I take refuge. That's how the NIV has it. So the psalmist, he has this desire to be kept, watched over and preserved by God. And so effectively he's bringing this request for safety and security, and he's praying really clearly to God, to the Lord God. But what I want us to draw our attention to first is just this, that he's come to the Lord asking for safety and for security, but he's praying to the one who's able to do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine. He finds that when he comes to God with his prayer for safety and security, in the abundant goodness of God, verse 2, his request is answered. This is a psalm of answered prayer, and I want to suggest that it's abundantly answered. He gets way more than he asked for. Now let's have a look first at this. He's asked for safety and security. We see that that gets answered and some. Verse 5, his lot is secure. Verse 8, he shall not be shaken. And that safety and security that he's asked for from God extends to eternity. His body will rest secure, verse 9. He's not going to be abandoned to death, verse 10. He will not see decay, verse 10. That request, that petition, that prayer for safety and security is abundantly answered. Yet the psalmist is praying to the God who we know, the living God, who is able to do immeasurably more than you or I ask or imagine. So in the abundant goodness of God, the one who's gone to the Lord asking for safety and security gets immeasurably more. He finds that what he receives is actually contentment in the here and now, verses 5 to 8. And fullness of joy thereafter, verses 9 to 11. And so all of this, safety and security, contentment in the here and now, and fullness of joy, all of this is rooted somewhere. And I want us first to take a look at where it's rooted. Contentment is rooted in the worship of the only God, the one God, living God. The beginning of all contentment comes from worship of the one God of Israel. Yahweh, the Lord, is referenced in verse 2. The psalmist says, I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good thing. And in verse 5, Lord, you alone are my portion and my cup. You make my lot secure. So if you or I wanted to know and experience contentment in the here and now, we need to worship the Lord our God and serve him only. And I think that's worth saying. It's where we could slip up. We could find ourselves worshipping someone, something other than the Lord God. Perhaps even if we take this psalm, he's come with a request for safety and security. We could find ourselves worshipping safety and security rather than the Lord God. You, me, perhaps our culture, we go wrong when we make safety and security the object of our worship and not the Lord God alone. Probably in this particular time that we find ourselves, it's a distinct possibility for us to make safety and security a bit of an idol, to make it a false place to find refuge, rather than finding refuge in God. Even way, way, way prior to the pandemic, people were saying, and I think fairly convincingly, that our 21st century culture, Western culture, has a bit of an obsession with safety, a bit of an obsession with devotion to safety and security. And if we make that priority number one, then any kind of contentment, any kind of lasting joy is, as we probably know from our own experience, who hasn't done that? Who hasn't sent plenty of stay safe messages and so on? Who hasn't found their contentment vanishing or any kind of lasting, solid joy vanishing? So that's why verses 2 to 4, they follow this really, really typical pattern. We're just kind of working our way through here, Psalm 16. Really, really familiar pattern in scripture. Part 1, worship God alone. Part 2, do not follow other gods. And that's what's coming there in verses 2 to 4. The psalmist says, I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good thing. Verse 2, I say of the holy people who are in the land, they're the noble ones in whom is all my delight. Verse 3, those who run after other gods will suffer more and more. I'll not pour out libations of blood to such gods or take up their names on my lips. So we've just got that repeated phrase. It's just like the Ten Commandments, isn't it? Worship the Lord our God and do not follow other gods. It's got that same pattern to it. So if we do find ourselves with feeling that temptation to obsess with or devoted to safety and security, we may find ourselves enacting verse 4, we'll find we're just finding ourselves to suffer more and more as we've dethroned God from his rightful place and put safety and security up there. When that desire for safety and security takes on an almost kind of sinister edge, whereby it seems things seem to get worse for individuals and society, and leading to almost very, very sadly to kind of a sick mind, a sick society, when we focus on safety and security. But if we want to know and experience the certainty of being kept, watched over, preserved, if we want to know that contentment in the here and now, if we want to know fullness of joy thereafter, then there's some simple things first. Worship the Lord our God, serve him only. Well, that's number one. Contentment is rooted in the worship of the only God. But number two, contentment is rooted in a happy trust in the providence of God. Now, this psalm has providence all over it. If we want to know a measure of contentment, then I think it's completely unavoidable that we must grow a happy trust in the providence of God. I don't think that's easy in any way, shape or form, but this psalm clearly is about contentment. And as you study it, as you look at it, contentment is intimately connected to the providence of God. Take a look there at verses 5 and 6. Lord, you alone are my portion and my cup. You make my lot secure. Verse 6, the boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. Those phrases of portion, lot, boundary lines, inheritance, they all invoke the idea of God giving the land. And this song, it's echoing that, but in one's personal life, in the same way that Israel have been placed and gifted their portion, lot, their boundary lines, their inheritance. In that same way, we personally know a measure of that. And this is a song that sings it, that sings a contentment with the arrangement of one's life, seeing the day to day, the where you live, the who you know, the things that have happened in the fatherly, providential goodness of God, from verse 2. Now, I did mention that we get the majority of our biblical teaching on contentment from David in the Old Testament, from Paul in the New Testament. A brief scan of their various biographies would show pretty quickly that contentment certainly isn't simple or a quiet, comfortable life. They seem to opt, both of them, for a fairly strenuous way of going about things, but they could talk of being content. And I wanted to share with you now something that I find that speaks to contentment or helps me in this regard, with that connection between contentment and providence. And it's this, that I have a Peugeot Renault Bipper. It's red, and most of the time it sits on Blackboy Road. And in amongst the Kit Kat wrappers and the petrol receipts and the face masks in the side compartment of my car is a little book. I've got it here. It is not a cool book. I put it there because I seem to spend an inordinate amount of time in on-street two-hour parking with one or two boys asleep in the back of the car. The little book is stuffed in the side compartment, and it's called the Heidelberg Catechism. It is not particularly cool, but it is, I find, for myself, particularly helpful. In it, if you need to know what a catechism is, it's questions and answers about God. They tend to work through things like the Ten Commandments or the Lord's Prayer. Really simple stuff. I find when I'm a stressed out parent and I need simple gospel, Ten Commandments, Lord's Prayer, and some questions and answers help me get by. And I'm sure that's not necessarily true for everyone, but I wanted to share you one of them. This is question 27. And it goes like this, and it's about providence, and I find it to be incredibly helpful. So the question's this: what do you understand by the providence of God? Question. Here's the answer, and here's where I think the fruit is. The almighty and everywhere present power of God, whereby, as it were, by his hand, he still upholds heaven and earth with all creatures, and so governs them that herbs and grass, rain and drought, fruitful and barren years, meat and drink, health and sickness, riches and poverty, yes, all things come not by chance, but by his fatherly hand. And it is trusting in the goodness of God's fatherly hand in these things that I find gives me just a glimpse of contentment in two-hour on-street parking on Blackboy Road. Now, that's where I wanted to take us, for seeing that contentment is rooted in the providence of God. But it's not just rooted there. We may have had glimpses of it. We may have known phases or even seasons of life when we've known ourselves to be more contented or less contented and so on. If we want this to be something that really is a thread that runs all the way through life, then verse 7 and 8 are the places we need to go. Contentment's rooted in a regular listening to and looking upon God. Verses 7 and 8. I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night, my heart instructs me. I keep my eyes always on the Lord. With him at my right hand, I shall not be shaken. If we don't want contentment to simply be a phase or a passing experience, then there's going to be a measure of actively listening for that counsel from God in verse 7, and an active looking for him. Take that to be an almost kind of being at worship, being there, looking for the Lord with our eyes fixed on him in a Sunday by Sunday and through the week kind of way. We must actively listen to and look upon God if we want contentment, not just to be a passing thing, but to be rooted through all of life. And then our next section, verses 9 to 11. Contentment is rooted in the ongoing and indestructible life of Jesus Christ. It's not mentioned there in verses 9 to 11 at all. If you know the words at all, they are quoted by Peter and by Paul in the book of Acts. They're both quoted in their argument in proving the necessity for the resurrection of Christ from the Old Testament. That's their argument. And what they give to us is the truths about Jesus's ongoing, indestructible life in heaven with God, where he is glad, rejoicing, secure, and so on. And it is as Christians, as those who are in Christ, we are those who are connected to him. So if we're to know some contentment in the here and now, then we need to be aware in verses 9 to 11 of our connectedness to this person who the psalmist is speaking about, this person whose body is secure, who is not abandoned to the realm of the dead, who has been the faithful one, who will not ever see decay. And if we stick close to him, then we, as those who are with him, who are in Christ, who are by his side, will have the path of life made known to us. And that in the hereafter, and a measure in the here and now, we'll know some of that joy of God's presence, and in the hereafter, eternal pleasures at God's right hand. So that here's where we've been as we've taken a little bit of a look at Psalm 16. And these are the things I'm going to drop just into the box that might be helpful for you for the week ahead. Contentment is rooted in worship of the only God. Contentment is rooted in a happy trust in the providence of God. Contentment is rooted in a regular listening to and looking upon God. And contentment is rooted in the ongoing and indestructible life of Jesus Christ. So I'm just going to paste those into the box, and I will pray and leave a few moments, and then I'm going to hand over to Ruth, and we're going to be taking a communion together. Allow me to pray for us. Father God, we ask that more and more in our own lives and in our walk with you, you might please give us that contentment that the psalmist knows. Thank you, Lord, that you give to us more than we ask or imagine. Thank you that this secret seems to be uncoverable, and that the contented life in Christ displayed to us in the Psalms seems obtainable. And we ask by your Spirit that you might please work that into us, Lord. May you give us some glimpses perhaps this week of singing and of living Psalm 16 in our whole life worship. We ask that in Jesus' name, and we ask that you might help us bringing out the fruit of some of this to the glory of your name. Amen.